you would. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm just going to read a couple of verses for the text here in Hebrews chapter number 10 and preach to you on the subject of willful sin. I've heard a lot of messages about sin and the consequences of sin in my life, and I can't remember ever hearing a message just totally about willful sin. And tonight, with the help of God, I'm going to try to bring a message on willful sin. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we are so grateful to be alive for another day, have another day to live for You. And I pray tonight that You would help me to preach as I should preach. And have Your will and Your way in our lives, and especially in this service tonight. Guide my words and my thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe this means that the Jewish people who, some of them had been truly converted from Judaism, and Christ had been preached to them. They had believed on Jesus Christ. And some of them, though, were still wanting to trust in the Jewish ceremonies and the Jewish sacrifices and come back under the law. And what Paul was trying to tell them was, is it's Jesus or it's judgment. Jesus is the Savior. He's what there is. He's the one who does the saving. It's Jesus or else it's judgment. But the Bible says here about if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the enemies. There's some things here that can be said about willful sin and about judgment across the board, and I want to endeavor to bring those to you tonight. When I was about, in about the third grade, and I had a little sister, about the third grade, I had a little sister about 6 years younger than me, and she and I were walking down the road where we lived, and this boy about my age began to throw rocks at her. And I told him, you better quit throwing those rocks at her, and he kept throwing the rocks at her. And I said, I told you not to do that. And he threw rocks at her again. And Kyle Ridge found out what a certain fearful looking for of judgment was all about. And his mama heard him screaming all the way down the street. I mean, if we sin willfully. But there are people who live like that. They just sin willfully. And they just tempt God. And even knowing that it's wrong, knowing full well it's wrong, to just go ahead and do it anyway after hearing every warning from God. Now there are signs, say one-way street. But somebody might say, well, you know, I can read and I know it says one-way street, but I'm going to go down that street anyway. Well, you know, what do you expect to happen when you willfully go down the wrong street? Anything, you know what's going to happen when that happens. So the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, when we rub the fur of Scripture the wrong way, then you know what's going to happen. Now, there's several inadvertent and advertent truths about the consequences of willful sin I just want to share with you tonight. Number one, all sin has consequences, and all sin pays wages. The wages of sin is death. And sin brings death to relationships. It brings death to happiness. Sin brings death to joy. I mean, sin just brings death. That's the wages of sin. Of course, it's eternal death when a person fails to get saved and separation from God, but sin destroys and sin just brings death. some sins carry greater consequences, greater judgment than what other sins do. For instance, in the Scripture, people died because they caused division in the camp of Israel. And the earth opened up, and Kore and his people were swallowed up by a great division in the earth for causing division in Israel. However, some little Jewish kid had put a piece of bubble gum under the seat, he probably wouldn't have been swallowed up by a great division in the earth. I know that sin is sin, and we all know that sin is sin. It is. But on the basis of Scripture, some sins carry greater consequences than other sins. Now, in the Scriptures, that God was giving them the law, He gave them the law, when certain sins were committed, they were told the exact correct sacrifice to bring. And they would bring that sacrifice, they would kill it the way it was supposed to be killed, laid out the way it was supposed to be killed. It was the offering, that the sacrifice that God demanded for specific sins. And yet, for willful sin, like murder and adultery, what was called for was stoning, as we heard about in Sunday school today. And the ugly consequences of our willful sin are not God's fault. And neither are they anybody else's fault. A person will, for instance, the Bible says we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and a person will go ahead and do that anyway. And then the problems begin to happen. And it isn't that they didn't know it was wrong. They knew it was wrong, but they did it anyway. They went into the whole thing knowing it was wrong. So problems begin to happen, and it's not God's fault. And you hear people say all the time, not just only to that, but other things in their life, they'll have problems in their life. And so what they'll say is, you know, I wonder why God is allowing this to happen to me. But many times, the problems we have in our own lives are our own fault. It's because of the consequences of our own choices. Many times we knew they were wrong. We did it knowing it was wrong. Sometimes we planned the whole thing out and we went ahead and did it anyway. But it wasn't God's fault when the consequences came. Now, there are minor consequences, there are major consequences, all the way to terrible judgment for willful sin. All that's up to God. I'm just saying several inadvertent truths about the consequences of willful sin. Here's we all know what Galatians 6 and verse 7 and 8 says about sowing and reaping, and most of us can quote those. Don't turn there now, but if I stood below Kentucky Dam and I blew it up, it would not be God's fault when I was washed away. If I put a rock in the slingshot, pulled it back the wrong way and let her go, that's not God's fault. If I torched my house, it wouldn't be God's fault that it burned down. Yet that's how people live their lives, and then they want to blame God, and they expect God to jump in there and do something about it. But I'm talking about the consequences of willful sin. Now, here's another truth about that. Most people confuse this. I mean, they just don't understand. Never confuse forgiveness of sins with immunity from the consequences of sin. Now, here's how it usually happens. You know it does. People have it all planned out to what they're going to do. They know they're going to do it. But at the end of the day, their plan is also they're going to hit their knees and they're going to pray. And you know what? I believe that when a person honestly before God confesses their sins, then I believe that He's faithful. I'm talking about Christians now. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But never confuse forgiveness of sin with immunity from the consequences. If we have the Catholic idea that we could just confess our sins and then go away and everything's all right, that's not scriptural. See, I believe that we'll get forgiveness of our sins when we come clean with God and we ask Him, but the consequences are going to be, whatever in the providence of God, the consequences are going to be for that sin. I mean, you could kill somebody and get gloriously saved, and yet God doesn't, I mean, that person's never brought back to life. But people do that. Here's another truth. And sin is so dangerous. You know, sometimes we hear people say that the Lord sure has been gracious to us and merciful. I mean, you know, we hear a testimony and somebody will say, I haven't seen the judgment of God that I deserve. And we can all say that. That's a fact. That's a truth. And the Lord is merciful. But just let me say this. And here's something I don't ever want to say wrong. And I hope you get me right. That for my willful sin, God is not under obligation to pick up all the pieces and put them all back together. We might have got that from a song and it sounds pretty. But you know what? He's not obligated to. And we'll go in the Bible and in a few minutes and I'll show you where God didn't pick up all the pieces. I will live with the results of my willful sin as long as I'm on this earth, and you will too. I mean, God's a good God and He's gracious, and thank God He doesn't reward us according to what we deserve. He's not up there just waiting to zap us when we do wrong. I mean, He is a gracious God. I'm just saying that if we think that we're going to sin willfully, and then when we pray and get forgiveness, that's going to automatically do away with the consequences, that's not so. The consequences are going to be whatever the consequences are. And that's what people need to understand. I need to understand that, and you do too. We'd all live happier lives. Less regrets if we just knew that. There's some examples of willful sin in the Bible. Most of us know the story of King David. I'll read you that. And if you turn with me to 2 Samuel, you know the story well. 2 Samuel in chapter number 12. Now David was who he was, and we know all about David's life, everything God wants us to know. He put it in the Bible here. We see him as the guy who wrote all those songs, and his heart I'm tired, see? I told you. What's the verse I'm thinking of? The man after God's own heart. You couldn't tell me that David didn't know that when he was looking at that woman, that what he was thinking wasn't right. You couldn't tell me that what he did with Uriah and all of that, having him killed, her husband killed, that he didn't know that wasn't right. And he had done all those things. Begin with verse number 1 then. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I'm going to quit right there. But he said, Thou art the man, and he'd done all these things. He had taken that man's wife. He had sinned with her. He had the Bathsheba's husband killed. He comes to him and he said, Thou art the man. And in Psalm chapter number 51, excuse me. And he went on to say that he would pay fourfold. And in Psalm chapter number 51, we read where David comes before God and he's broken before God. And the chickens have come home to roost. And he sees what he's done, and all Israel knows about it. And he confesses, and there you read where he prays that the Lord would return unto him the joy of his salvation, and amend his broken bones, and I believe the Lord did that. And he prayed for God's forgiveness. I believe he got forgiveness from God. But yet, the sword never departed from his house. And he did pay fourfold. Brought trouble to his own family. We hear people saying things today like, but the Lord knows how we feel about each other. When I was a kid, there was a popular song on the radio, Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going. We don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. Some of you remember that song probably. But that's how people look at things today. If they want to do what they want to do and they don't want the Scripture somehow to apply to them that applies to everybody else in the whole world, they'll say that God understands. You heard that? And the Lord knows how we feel about each other. Just when you think you've heard it all, you hear something new. It just blows you away. Somebody said something like, we are married in the eyes of God. I mean, we stood together before God in the woods one night. And you hear all kinds of silly things. But it's willful sin. And the Lord has always understood willful sin. A guy came in my office that worked for me once about 3 years ago, and he said his son and his son's girlfriend been living together for some time, and that they're not in any hurry to get married, and that's not as bad today as what it used to be, and I told him that as long as there's a God in heaven, it'll be bad. But what about that? And what about a myriad of other sins we could name that people in our society just do now? Because it doesn't seem as bad in our society, because it's more acceptable in our society than what it used to be. But it's still wrong with God. What about all the willful sin out there? It brings trouble and it brings consequences. I believe David asked for and he got forgiveness. But I also see an example where God didn't put all the pieces back together. So sin is awful. Sin is destructive. And it brings to mind verses such as Satan goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He always does. And all he wants to do is destroy you and me. Those we love. And that's what sin does. Nobody ever gets by with sin. I don't and you don't. Sin does bring consequences, and sin brings judgment. There's another example in Scripture of the consequences of willful sin. There's Ananias and Sapphira, for example. When they lied to the church, they were actually lying to the Holy Ghost. They were lying to God. Now, you can't tell me that they didn't know that it was wrong of what they were doing to tell a lie. But that's what they did. They were living a lie. Now, they said one thing to the church, but they were actually practicing another thing. And I thought many times about the people that I work with. I'll see them on Monday, and they'll be talking about church, but you know they'll also be cussing and going on too, and they'll be telling about church the previous day. And I've often wondered, you know, I was a pastor until recently, and how many of my people, if I just knew how it was on Monday. Would I be shocked? See, they were lying to the church, what they were doing. And that was a serious thing. If they were saved, they went to heaven, but God didn't pick up all the pieces because of their willful sin. Now, there's a bright spot in the message, though. And God is a gracious God. And to continue in sin is folly. One of the verses in the Scripture while I'm telling you this story, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now, I've joined my heart because God put me here. And so don't get me wrong when I say this. I believe you'll understand me. But, I told my kids when I was looking for a church, I don't want a church that's going to make me feel good. I want a church that's going to make me be good. I mean, give me some encouragement to live right before God. And one of the verses in Scripture, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 26. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. But for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so eat it. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, I'm talking here about repentance. I mean about not continuing in sin. Some of the best verses in the Bible for us Christians are given to us at the time that when we take the Lord's Supper. I have a message that I've preached on reasons to take the Lord's Supper, because we have people who never show up at night to take it. You know, they live years and years and never take the Lord's Supper. One of the reasons is it holds us to accountability. I mean, it really does. Let a man so examine himself and make sure that he's right with the Lord. And because if we would agree with God, the Holy Spirit, when He's pointing out these sins in our lives and get these things straightened out and forgiven and confessed, then we can avoid Him doing the judgment. All right, is Jesus or judgment? What about hell's out there? But yet, there might be a whole lifetime to be lived of many years before the day of death happens and that soul goes on to hell. by being saved young? A person can avoid many a trouble in their life. I mean, by living for the Lord young, many a heartache can be avoided. Now, I knew a man, his name was Mr. Henderson. He didn't have a dandelion in his yard. Everybody else did. But he had this long extractor. And he'd go out there. If he seen one starting to grow, he'd pull that baby up. And there's not a dandelion in his whole yard. But I've wondered through the years what he thought about all these people around him. You know, if they just keep their yards cleaned up and them seeds wouldn't blow over into mine, and I wouldn't have this trouble. And if I'm going to have trouble in life, I'd a whole lot rather it be by somebody else's seeds blown over in my yard that I have to deal with, instead of me pulling the slingshot back the wrong way. And by living for God, we can avoid terrible judgment. Get saved now, while you're young. Live for the Lord. The consequences, I'll say it again, the consequences of willful sin are going to be what they are. And God doesn't necessarily take all the consequences away. And a lot of bad choices we make very young stick with us. Here's something good. God could lessen the consequences. I mean, it is up to Him. He's the one who decides and makes the judgment. Says what it's going to be. What about Hezekiah? Set your house in order, for thou shalt surely die. And he turns to the wall and he weeps and he prays and he gets right with God, and God adds 15 years to him, to his life. Minor consequences, major consequences, terrible judgment. There's nothing good you can say about sin. And really the thing is, you can't play and toy with sin. To the lost, we say, it's Jesus or it's judgment. To the saved, we could say things like, be a one-man wrestling match. I mean, like Paul said he was. And, you know, I believe he understood when he wrote the scripture that said that he had to keep under his body and bring it into subjection, lest that after he preached to others, he himself should become a castaway. He understood that there's consequences for sin. And he didn't want those. Would you stand with me? Let's pray.